I could punch them out of the sky before their mental attacks lowered my health more than a few points. Their brain-shaped bodies had the consistency of a jam-filled kickball. They bounced when they hit the ground, sometimes splattering. I didn't want to go further into this neighborhood, but we cleared the way to the safe room. The room, unfortunately, wasn't one of the restaurants with a babka protector, though the chamber itself was much bigger than any other safe room I'd seen. It appeared to be some sort of storm shelter. The signs on the doors for the restrooms were in French. The television screens were attached to the walls on one end of the cavernous room. About 50 dusty cots were pushed up against another wall. There was no food, no cookies, no vending machines. Just bathrooms, showers, and sinks. But there was something I'd never seen before. A mailbox attached to a pole in the ground near the wall with the televisions. It was a standard black mailbox with a little red flag. The kind someone out in the suburbs would have in front of their house. I immediately moved to the box and tried to open the little door, but I received an error message.
Why would someone send you mail?
Weird. The number of boxes and achievements we'd received was less than usual, but I still had quite a few. Several of my battle stats had also ticked up. I sat down on one of the cots and examined my achievements as Donut did the same.
New achievement! Bro boss. So, you've stumbled into the chamber of the second weakest type of boss. If you survive this, it means you are in the top 5% of all crawlers. Too bad only the top 0.25% make it past the next tier. Reward? Yeah, no. New achievement! Bully and a thief. You've stolen property from a fellow crawler who is a lower level than you. What's next, tough guy? Kicking puppies? Reward? You've received a bronze assholes box.
That one confused me for a moment until I realized I'd gotten it for taking Agatha's shopping cart.
New achievement! Battlefield construction. You built a structure and deployed it in battle. And your mother thought you were wasting your life away while you spent all those hours eating Doritos and playing Minecraft. If only she could see you now. Too bad she's probably dead. Reward? You've received a silver mechanics box.
For this next one, the AI once again used his sexy voice. I cringed.
New achievement. This little piggy went to market. Oh yeah, baby. You have killed more than 5 opponents during boss battles using your bare feet. You are making Daddy very, very happy. Reward? You've received a platinum shoebox.
What the fuck, dude? I muttered at the ceiling. I shuddered. I eyed Donut, who was already opening her boxes. I wasn't going to tell her about this one. Still, a platinum box? That almost made it worth it. Almost. I couldn't wait to see what was in the random loot box. A few more achievements popped up, all concerning us defeating the boss. Killing a burrow boss, killing a burrow boss with a mixed group, killing a burrow boss in under 10 minutes, killing a burrow boss with more than 10 minions. None of the achievements offered any good loot except the silver boss box. After that, there was only one achievement left.
New achievement! You found stairs! You have found a stairwell down to the next floor. They say the cream rises to the top. So what does that say about you? Reward? This barely qualifies as an achievement. Your reward is that you're alive to read this.
Next, I moved to loot boxes. The items appeared one by one, rapidly appearing and disappearing into my virtual bag. I went into my inventory, selected the New tab, and inspected the items one at a time. The asshole box bestowed 5 gold pieces and 3 little pieces of paper. Drink ticket times 3. Desperado Club. When I examined the little red paper, all it said was, "Redeem at the Desperado Club for a free drink." I stared dubiously at the quotation marks around drink. The silver mechanics box contained a really interesting item. A tool. I pulled it out of my inventory and examined it. It looked like a silver, oversized lollipop with a button on the handle.
The Guinator 3000. This is a shaping tool. May only be used at a workbench. Assists in shaping materials into something else. You might want to keep the business end away from your face.
That sounded pretty cool. But I wouldn't be able to use it until I bought a personal space, which I couldn't do until the fourth floor. For now, I would have to set my inventory and wait. Next up was the prize from the Silver Boss Box. I'd received 100 gold coins and a potion.
Cheat code potion. Warning, this item has a short shelf life. This item will expire shortly after it was generated. In other words, this isn't something you can hoard. Don't be a wuss. Drink it now! Causes 1, recently used combat or magic-themed skill to increase by 3. Choice is random and permanent.
A red, flashing timer appeared at the bottom of the description. It was down to 17 minutes and counting. Shit. I added it to my hot list and drank. I felt a crackling sensation in my mouth, like I'd just downed a whole packet of Pop Rocks.
Your pugilism skill has been increased by 3. Your pugilism skill is now level 10.
Damn. I had a pile of bonuses now, all relating to unarmed combat. With the combination of my iron punch and powerful strike skills, plus my unarmed combat bonus and my pugilism skill, my fists packed just as much damage as Brandon's lightning maul. I knew the skill levels would come more slowly now, but I could probably punch a steel beam and put a dent in it. At the same time, I knew my progress wasn't anything special, not compared to some of the others from the last recap episode. That Lucia Markid was completely decked out in magical gear. She had an obvious dexterity bonus. The kid was running on walls and doing flips and shit already, splattering monsters with her mace. The crossbow woman with the Valkyrie helmet was also crazy strong, likely twice as powerful as me. I'd watched in awe as she picked up a bear-sized, slobbering tentacle monster and threw it into the air, shooting it twice with a repeating crossbow before it exploded. They were giving us these incredible upgrades, but I also knew the monsters were going to keep pace with our progress, and while I felt overpowered, a part of me feared I was actually falling behind. I had one last item to examine. God damn it, I muttered under my breath. I pulled it into my hand and examined its properties. It was a little black folder with a zipper. I zipped it open, revealing multiple miniature tools.
Enchanted Pedicure Kit of the Sylph. This kit contains 12 essential items for proper foot care. The magical enhancements of this item may only be imbued within a safe or personal space. Warning! All of these enhancements require you to remain barefoot. Why? Because you know why. From a pumice stone to a cuticle pusher, this personal hygiene kit will keep your feet both luscious and in perfect fighting shape. Nightly care of your feet and toenails will result in the following bonuses. Plus 15% damage to barefoot attacks for 30 hours. Plus 3 to the smush skill for 30 hours. Plus unbreakable buff, feet only, for 30 hours. This buff keeps your pretty little metatarsals nice and unbroken. Plus celestially nimble and tidy buff, feet only, for 30 hours. Not only will your tootsies look nice, bright, and shiny, but any traps set off by footfalls will now prompt an alarm and have a 5-second delay before being triggered.
I sighed. That very last buff was a great prize. Other than the goblin dozer, we hadn't dealt with any traps yet. Mordecai had mentioned them, but I didn't know when they would start showing up. We were going to need more than just a 5-second warning. But this was better than nothing. I looked at the kit dubiously before shoving it back into the inventory. I had no idea what most of those little metal items did. Would I have to use all of them to turn the enhancements on? How long would it take? Beatrice could literally spend hours in the bathroom poking, prodding, and plucking at herself. Donut usually sat on the counter in the bathroom with her, meowing for attention. Which meant Donut had watched her do it a number of times. I was going to have to ask the cat if she knew how to use the items. Shit. I watched as Donut trotted over to the mailbox, leaped so she was standing on top of it, and then sit down as the front of the box opened up on its own. A tome floated out and hovered before her. It vanished as she added it to her inventory.
What the hell was that? I asked.
She poofed her chest out.
Thanks to that boss box, I am now a member of the Dungeon Book of the Floor Club. I get one spell book per level, which is mailed to me.
What? Really? That's way better than what I received. What book did you get? Instead of answering me, her body flashed with light. She'd read the book, giving herself the spell.
Ew,
she said after a moment.
What an awful spell. We really need to save these book things instead of wasting them.
God damn it, I caught myself. You know this. You have to read the description before applying it to yourself. What is the spell? What does it do? I couldn't examine her spells, so I had to rely on what she told me. I knew she had 4 spells, not including this new one. She had the heal spell everyone started with, torch, magic missile, and puddle jumper, which she'd only tried once. She also had a tome of minion army she couldn't yet read, and I had that tome of wisp armor.
It's called Second Chance. It costs 10 mana to cast. I can raise a monster from the dead. It has to be a lower level than me. They will fight for us for as many minutes as the spell's level. The level is 1, so it'll only last for a minute.
Holy crap! That's badass! It's a necromancy spell!
It's disgusting!
Donut said. She shuddered.
The dead are gross enough. It's much worse when they're moving around. It probably groans and stuff, too. You know how I feel about groaning.
I had a quick memory of being slashed at once while B and I were getting busy. It wasn't very funny at the time, but we'd laughed about it later. Donut had gotten banned from the bedroom during sexy time after that. She'd howl at the door, and we'd have to put music on to drown her out. Whatever happened to killing them with style? I said, trying not to laugh.
One doesn't have to resort to gore-themed violence in order to be stylish.
Yeah, but imagine raising one of those dingoes back from the dead and using it to kill another dingo, and then raising that one, too. You'd be like the Lucia Markid with her 2 dogs, but yours will be zombie dogs. Her eyes got huge.
This is the best spell ever.
Chapter 31 Brandon and crew were still bringing people into the safe room as the next episode premiered. Right when the show started, the timer finally ran out. The world rumbled, and the ground under my feet shook. The shaking lasted but a second. I stopped and gazed at the number on the television screen. It flashed, going from just over 2 million to 1,292,526. More people had made it down to the next level than I expected. Still, those numbers. Those goddamned numbers. I wished we didn't have to look at them. In that brief moment, as I helped push a woman, her name was Elle McGibbons, in a wheelchair into the storm shelter, over 700,000 people died. 1/3 of the remaining crawlers. The first floor had claimed a little more than 10 million people.
Thank you, honey,
the woman said as I rolled her to the others.
Can you put Divorce Court on the television? My Barry used to watch that show. It reminds me of him.
I don't think that show is on anymore, Mrs. McGibbons.
That's okay.
Above the number with the remaining crawlers, the countdown to level collapse blinked a few times, then reset. 6 days and counting.
6 days?
Brandon said, coming to stand beside me.
Miss Tiafa said it'd be 10.
Yeah, our guy said the same thing. At least we know where the stairs are this time. As the scenes of carnage played out on the television, they were showing a man and woman running from a 3-headed baboon. I took stock of the room. We'd only gained 6 more residents from the Waffle House safe room, meaning 24 of them had elected to stay behind. I thought about that for a moment. Good for them, I decided. They'd gained a measure of control in those last few moments. They went out on their own terms. Brandon said they'd all been singing when he'd last seen them. Agatha remained missing. Chris sat in the corner, his head low. He might have been crying. I wanted to give the man space. Imani and Yolanda worked their way around the residence. Yolanda helped them to the bathrooms while Imani handed out crawler biscuits. Donut paced the floor in front of the television screen, waiting for the second half of the program. We wouldn't be able to watch Odette's show, and we still didn't know if we'd get any airtime on the main program.
After everyone sleeps, I was hoping to get your help with something,
Brandon said. I already knew what he was going to ask. You're going to send them all down the stairs to the third floor early.
Yes. They can't train, so there's no point in keeping them here.
What about you? Your levels need work. He shook his head.
We talked about it. All of us are going to go down. We'll take our chances on the third floor. We don't want to risk getting separated.
On the screen, a woman screamed as her arm was bitten off by a monster that looked like an eggplant with teeth. We'll scout the way and clear it out for you.
Thank you.
Did you get anything good in your boss box? I asked. He now had a bright silver star next to his name in the interface, along with the rest of us. He grinned.
I got a magic boomerang. Chris got some Book of the Club thing. Imani doesn't tell us what she gets, and Yolanda received a new type of quiver.
There's something I've been wanting to ask you about, Agatha.
Everyone quiet! Quiet!
Donut called.
It's time for the good part.
The screen focused on that group of men from Africa. Their party name was Le Mouvement. They'd gone from 150 to about 80 after some internal strife. Several of the members sported skulls by their avatars now. The show had helpfully added a graphic showing how much ammunition they had left. The 80 men were down to under 500 rounds. Hopefully they were training themselves in other weapon types. Lucia Marr and her dogs obliterated a nest of brown, shaggy monsters before descending the stairs. I knew right afterward she'd been whisked away to appear on Odette's show. She'd been on stage just before us, where one of her dogs had attacked a producer. The woman with the Valkyrie helmet had teamed up with a group of three more women. They worked together to kill a Yeti burrow boss thing before using the stairs to descend. And just like that, there we were. Beside me, Donut gasped as we appeared. We were on screen for less than 15 seconds. The program was playing scenes from multiple groups of crawlers, rapid fire, all of them fighting bosses or running toward the stairs as the timer ran down. I knew some of these scenes must have played out just 30 minutes earlier. It showed us huddled underneath the redoubt as Donut screamed,
"Here it comes!"
The view changed to the ball of swine rolling up the ramp, getting stuck. It moved back inside our miniature fort as the brace broke and smashed Yolanda in the head. It showed the ball break apart, and then it cut to Donut screaming as she fired magic missiles point blank into the Tusklings. It ended with Imani making a sour face as she dropped the strap-on dildo on the floor. All of our mugshots appeared. A moment later, the show moved on to another group.
They didn't put Agatha's picture on the screen,
Yolanda said.
Does that mean she's dead?
I think that's exactly what it means, I said, my voice grim. There was no way the crazy old woman could survive down here on her own. Nobody had said it out loud yet, but we were all thinking it.
Wait,
Chris said. Brandon's older brother had a deeper voice, and it surprised me when he spoke. This was only the second time I'd heard him speak.
There's more to it. She was edited out of the scene. She was next to me under the speed bump. But she wasn't there when they showed it.
Oh, yeah,
Brandon said.
Weird. What does that mean?
Yolanda asked. Who the hell knows? I said. Donut was ignoring all of this as she hopped up and down.
Two shows in one day, Carl. Two shows. Maybe there's more, too. Do you think we're on more shows?
Donut, you need to stop obsessing over this. It's dangerous. It's going to get us killed.
I'm not obsessing. What makes you think I've been obsessing?
People like you because of what you've been doing. If you start playing for the camera, they're going to like you less. And if you die, you won't be remembered at all. So try not to think about it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Carl.
The show wrapped up. And a moment later, the announcement rattled through the storm shelter.
Hello, crawlers. Welcome to the second floor. Congratulations to all of you. We have just under 1.3 million crawlers still in the game. That number is slightly lower than our projections, so we're speeding up the second floor timer to the minimum legally allowed by the rules. You have 6 days to find a staircase down. Once again, we urge you all to wait until the last possible moment to descend. As soon as this announcement ends, you will find that follows and favorites will be turned on for our viewers. The numbers will populate slowly on your interface, so don't be too disappointed if you don't see anything just yet. We have improved how patronage works this season, This is a major change, so please pay attention. All crawlers are now limited to 3 patrons, and all 3 spots will be up for auction for 1 day immediately upon the induction of the 4th floor, then 5th, then 6th floors, respectively. Your benefactors may so choose to transfer their patronage to other parties at their own discretion starting on the 7th floor. All patronage spots will become available at a bid of 1 credit, meaning this season virtually all living crawlers will have patrons. But be warned, any bids the patron pays above the standard patronage fee will be reflected in loot box discounts for that patron. Any funds below that fee will be reflected in additional costs to that patron for loot boxes. In other words, the more your patron pays for you, the more and higher quality benefactor boxes you may receive. The higher your social numbers, the better your chances at receiving the best loot. Your tutorial guide should have more details and will help you if you have any additional questions. Finally, we must say we are disappointed in the disrespect we are being shown regarding the bathrooms. As of this moment, if any human-born crawler intentionally urinates or defecates anywhere outside a designated bathroom area, they will be immediately and swiftly penalized in the form of a rage elemental plucked from the 13th floor. This elemental will kill them and everyone in their party before they can get their pants back up. That's it for tonight. Have fun out there, and remember to kill, kill, kill.
Brandon turns to Yolanda.
You better tell Jack not to pee in the hallways anymore.
Yolanda had gone pale. I hadn't even realized that this was a problem. Jack was one of the guys who used a walker, not a wheelchair. He wore a Cincinnati Bengals hat and was always poking at the female resident, saying,
Are you still alive, Mary Beth?
None of them were named Mary Beth.
I have a few adult pads left. I'll make sure he puts one on,
Yolanda said.
Their reasoning for speeding it up doesn't make any sense,
Imani said. I nodded, agreeing. If anything, it seems like they're trying to get rid of us faster.
Carl! Carl! I have a follower! My first follower!
Donut cried.
Another! A view! I have a view!
Yeah. You know that viewer is watching you right now. So maybe you should stop acting crazy. We talked about this. Donut stiffened, her eyes going wide.
You're right,
she said. She sat down and licked her paw, suddenly looking nonchalant.
That was quite the battle today, don't you think, Carl?
She said this in a weird, stilted, I'm trying to act casual but I'm not very good at it voice. I sighed, and it took everything not to say my catchphrase out loud. Jeez. Going to get used to it. It's new, so you gotta give her time. After Odette's show finished airing, I knew those numbers were going to skyrocket. This was going to be a long night. Chapter 32. Time to collapse, 5 days, 10 hours. Views, 69 billion. Followers, 635 million. Favorites, 149 million. As we approached the quadrant with the stairwell, we could now see that there was a tutorial guild and another safe room just beyond the stairs. The plan was to probe the monsters, see how difficult they were. If it was something we could handle, we'd clear them out. Once we found the boss room, we'd make a judgment call on how to proceed. After that, we'd escort Team Meadowlark into the stairwell. We'd gone to sleep and woken up with our social numbers in the stratosphere. Donut's views and followers were about equal with my own, but her favorites were twice as high. It made sense. Mordecai had said people only got a limited number of favorites to use, and Donut was the more entertaining member of our duo. I was okay with that. I tried not to think about it. We had important work to do today. Even Donut, thankfully, began to pay attention to the task at hand as we saw the first few red dots appear on our map. He'd been saying some motivational bullshit about seizing the day and fighting for the honor of our elders, but I think even she realized she was being annoying. A couple followers had ticked away, and you'd have thought that someone had stabbed her in the face with the way she'd reacted. The dots were just off the main thoroughfare. The main arteries on this floor weren't as wide as they'd been one floor up, and the ground was less even. Within the actual quadrants, we had to watch our step. The concrete floor was cracked and splintered. Little sharp rocks were everywhere. I kicked a rock away. Below, my shiny toes glittered. I'd tried to get Donut to show me how to use the pedicure kit, and she'd laughed at me. It was Imani, of all people, who'd sat down with me. The stoic nurse pulled the tools out one at a time, matter-of-factly explaining how they worked. The buffs all activated after about 15 minutes of work. I didn't need to use all the items. I just had to make a show of it. But now my feet glittered, and while the sensation wasn't any different than it had been before, I could sense the unbreakable aspect of my foot bones. I knew if I dropped a boulder on my toes, they wouldn't splinter. It had still hurt, but they'd remain intact and unscarred and as pretty as ever for the psychotic AI. I peered around the corner at the monsters. There were three of them sitting in a wide room lit by torches. They sat in a circle, playing dice. They were small, troll-like humanoids with oversized heads. Each had hooked noses, ruddy cheeks, and mouths with only a few teeth. They wore tattered green overalls covered in patches. Each had pilgrim-style buckled shoes. Much too small for me. If it wasn't for their mottled skin and curly black hair, I'd think they were a type of goblin. All three of them had runny noses. They coughed and sneezed and snorted and rubbed their sleeves with their arms as they played their game. All three of them had slingshots on their laps. Ranged weapons. I didn't like ranged weapons.
Unvaccinated Cluricon Rev Up Consultant, Level 3. If you hear banjo music, run. Cluricons are distant hillbilly relatives of the leprechauns. And while the leprechauns are said to guard vast piles of gold, the only thing Cluricons might hoard are Polaroids of their own sisters sitting on the can and questionable business schemes. This particular sect is of the unvaccinated variety. Don't let them sneeze on you. Warning! This is a fairy class mob. Mobs of this class inflict 20% more damage against you due to your goblin pass.
I eased back around the corner.
Man, I really wish we could figure out a way to turn their dots white. Then we could use your charm skill.
Do they have wings? My butterfly collar charm causes winged fairies to like me.
I don't think they do.
Maybe if we capture one, we can talk to it.
I'd say that's a good idea, but not with these guys. We need to kill them from a distance. They're toxic. I'm pretty sure they inflict something like your sepsis debuff on us. Let's try hitting them with 3 magic missiles super quick. Do a 4 power for each one and see what happens. If they don't go down, hit them again. Donut nodded and jumped to my shoulder.
Ready,
she said. All business. We popped around the corner. Thwap, thwap, thwap. Donut struck each one with a headshot. They didn't even know what hit them. They died where they sat. How many mana points do you have left?
14.
Do you want to try your new second chance spell? It costs 10, right? I didn't have to ask her twice. Donut's whole body glowed a neon purple. A moment later, one of the Cluricons twitched. It glowed purple, matching Donut's hue. It stumbled to its feet and just stood there, its scorched and blown-in head listing to the side. A moan emanated from its wet, snotty mouth. On my shoulder, Donut shuddered. A 1-minute timer hovered over the undead creature. A clear liquid oozed out of the hole in its head. It moaned again, this time louder.
Undead minion of Crawler Princess Donut. Unvaccinated Cluricon Consultant, Level 1.
It continued to sway, not moving from that spot.
This is most unpleasant,
Donut said. She made a sound like she was going to retch.
I do not like this, Carl.
I wonder if they'll always be level 1, I said, fascinated. Can you control it?
I don't know,
Donut said hesitantly.
I don't have any sort of controls.
She made a kind of uncomfortable whimpering noise, something I'd never heard from her before.
You,
she said, calling to the zombie. It didn't seem to react.
Rip up the dead bodies of your friends.
It swayed there for another moment. The countdown was down to 25 seconds. Then it went to its knees and started taking apart one of his companions. It reached into the stomach and just yanked a line of intestines out like a magician pulling streamers from a hat. They just kept coming and coming. The zombie groaned with an almost sexual pleasure. I felt a twinge of sickness gurgle in my own stomach.
Ugh,
Yeah. Ugh, that's really gross, I said.
The zombie clattered over, dead once again a few short seconds later. It had left its job unfinished. I eyed the remains dubiously. I knew we needed to destroy the corpses, but there were only so many ways the game would warn me that these guys were toxic. I didn't even know if getting close enough to loot them was a good idea. Before I could protest, Donut jumped down and looted them anyway. As a quadruped, she could pull the loose, non-slotted items like the slingshots and the dice into her own inventory without actually touching them as long as they weren't too heavy or too far. I had to physically pick them up, which meant getting closer to the contaminated bodies.
Each of them has a clay jug of something called toilet-grade moonshine,
Donut said. They're like the llamas. They probably sell the stuff to the other mobs. We decided to forego destroying the corpses for now. We'd angle back on our way out and kill any grubs skulking around the area. I contemplated just blowing the bodies up, but that seemed like a waste of perfectly good explosives. I could probably concoct something that would burn them. I had gallons and gallons of flammable liquid. Their moonshine would probably work too. But it would take some thinking and trial and error. I really needed to get my hands on something like a poleaxe I could use to chop things up from afar.
Did they have any slingshot ammo on them?
I asked as we crept deeper into the hallway.
Yeah, they have little bags of rocks.
Give me one of the slingshots and a couple bags. I want to try it out. It took me about 3 seconds to realize I wasn't going to be a deadly wielder of the slingshot anytime soon. But I was going to practice. I needed some sort of ranged weapon, one a bit more subtle than my usual stick of dynamite. As a kid, I'd had a slingshot, and I'd been pretty good with it. I used to set toy cars up on the edge of the fence and try to hit them. The memory suddenly turned sour. I remembered my dad finding my slingshot. He and his friends had played with it, breaking the band. He'd promised he'd get me a new one. He never did. For the next hour, we cleared out all of the Cluricons along the outer ring of the quadrant. And by we, I mean Donut. So far, all we found were the level 3 version. After each skirmish, Donut would raise one of them from the dead, and I would practice hitting him with the slingshot. The weapon did hardly any damage at all, though I was getting good at consistently hitting the monsters in the head. My slingshot skill eventually raised to 3, but it didn't want to budge past that. Donut's skill in the second chance spell also rose to level 3. The zombies weren't any more powerful, but the monsters now hung around for 3 minutes instead of 1. Donut looted something unusual from one of the bodies. A pamphlet entitled, Rev Up, Make Money, Be Your Own Boss, Move to the Next Floor Down. It didn't appear to be magical. It was just a regular trifold pamphlet. Let me see it, I said. The colorful front showed a group of 3 laughing female Cluricons holding jugs of the moonshine. Several little phrases covered the pamphlet, written in Syndicate standard. Things like, you're the boss now, and your own hours, and it's not a pyramid, and safe. Inside the pamphlet was a wall of text of mostly gibberish about the benefits of becoming a rev-up moonshine consultant. On the right was a picture of a pyramid with, it's not a pyramid, written all over it. The bottom of the brochure stated, see Crack Karen or one of her downline consultants and learn how you can rev up your life today. On the back page it read, coming soon, rev up smoothies, portable, delicious, invigorating. The entire line was crossed out with discontinued written under it.
Do you think we can become consultants?
Donut asked after she spent an inordinate amount of time reading the pamphlet.
It says, as business owners, we gain power over ourselves and can seize our own destinies.
That doesn't even mean anything. They're just making fun of pyramid schemes. You remember when B wanted to start selling those leggings? It's like that. The closet in Donut's trophy room had been filled with boxes of the things. Donut had gotten into one of the boxes and peed in it. I smiled, remembering. B had raged at the poor cat.
It's not a pyramid, though. It says so right here.
Come on. These things are hostile toward us, so it wouldn't work anyway.
I think these pamphlets are for other mobs on this floor, not crawlers.
Besides, we can just kill them and take it all for ourselves. Donut put the pamphlet away.
Yeah, that does seem easier. We won't have to pay our upline or make the initial seed investment when we do it that way.
As we finished our circle of the outer ring of the quadrant, I was forced to kill one of the Cluricons with a punch to the head. Donut missed a shot, and the little monster came running right at me, impossibly fast. It didn't bother with its slingshot, opting to grapple. It gurgled, sounding pug-like, clawing at me with little, pocked hands. I formed a fist, but it happened too fast. My gauntlet took 2 seconds to form, which was a long time when one was having to react. My first bare-knuckle hit stunned it. I hit it a second time, this time with the gauntlet, and the monster went flying, his head caved in. When I opened my hand, my fingers were covered with a lime-green, oily residue.
Warning! You've been infected with the taint.
Fuck. A blinking 5-minute timer appeared. In a panic, I pulled up my health screen to see what that was.
The taint. Having the taint is like having the giggles, or like having the time of your life. But instead of it being a good thing, you are balancing on the precipice of death. You may not heal your health using any method while you are inflicted with the taint.
Receiving the debuff scared the ever-loving crap out of me. I could deal with poison and several other attacks thanks to my armor, but we had no protection against this type of assault. Our heal spells, potions, and scrolls didn't help. We needed something to ward off stuff like this. In those 5 seconds before I could read the description, I was genuinely scared I had received something that was going to kill me. On its own, the debuff wasn't a big deal. I simply had to wait it out. I suspected it was part of a 1-2 punch. They first inflicted you with the taint, then they hit you with something else that seeped your health away. If that was the case, it didn't matter if these guys were only level 3. They were dangerous. We're not fucking around with these guys anymore. Let me think a minute. We'd collected 25 jugs of the moonshine. Donut gave me one, and I examined the large clay container.
Rev up toilet-grade moonshine. Type, accelerant. Effect, highly flammable liquid, explosive fumes. Status, will not activate until introduced to flame. At 180 proof, this moonshine will take the hair off your chest and then put it back on. The rev-up version is distilled using 2 types of sugars, the slime trails left behind by the passage of the brindle grub, and a secretive, proprietary source. Created exclusively on the dungeon's second floor by the rev-up company, jugs of this concoction are highly sought after by the drinking establishments that populate the 3rd, 6th, 9th, 12th, 15th, and 18th floors. Drinking a swig, defined as 1.5 ounces, of this potion, will immediately cause you to gain the shit-faced debuff, has a 50% chance to render you blind for a period of 30 hours, a 5% chance to immediately kill you, and a 45% chance to permanently raise a random stat by 2 points.
It does say they're valuable. Do you think we can really sell them if we don't become consultants?
That's what it sounds like. Other than that tiara of yours, this is the first time we've really seen anything that clues us in about the deeper floors. Donut indicated the tattoo of the dagger on my neck.
The Desperado Club? Maybe it will be on the next floor. I bet they'll buy them all from us because we're members of the club. We'll be rich.
Maybe. We'll see if we have any jugs left when we're done.
What do you mean? What are we doing with them?
I grinned. I don't suppose you have any extra torches?
Carl's Jug-a-Boom. Type, incendiary tossable. Effect, when lit and tossed, results in a small explosion, followed by burning splash damage over a wide area. Flames will burn for 15 seconds per level of attacker's level of incendiary device handling. Status, inert until torch is activated. Created by an unstable, pantsless man who talks to a cat, Carl's Jug-a-Boom takes the bigger-is-better approach when it comes to hobgoblin fire bottles. Burns hotter, bigger, and faster than your normal Molotov cocktail. The use of a standard torch instead of a cloth wick makes these devices much more stable. Just don't drop it once it's lit, lest you find yourself doing a Joan of Arc impersonation.
I received a host of achievements after I finished the bottle. I read the description again, and sighed.
Carl, look! They named it after you!
Yeah, Donut, I see that.
Do you think everybody will see it like that?
I don't know. I hope not. My incendiary device handling skill had jumped up to 5 immediately upon the construction of the device. All I had done was open up the jug, pour a splash or two out until it was about 3/4 full, added a couple ounces of goblin oil from my inventory, and then stuck a torch in the hole. The short, tapered torch fit perfectly into the mouth of the jug, sealing it like a cork. It was almost like it had been made for it. We tested one just to see if it would actually work. The clay moonshine jugs seemed pretty solid, and I was afraid they wouldn't break. The bottles had "Rev Up" written on the side of them. The cool thing about torches was that I could just look at them and mentally select Activate, and they would start burning. No lighter required. I lit the torch, grasped the jug by the little round handle, and tossed it high in the air, arcing it toward a group of 3 dead Cluricons. Whoosh! The jug shattered easily. The explosion itself was insignificant, but the angry flames splashed like water over a wide area, crackling and hissing angrily, glowing blue. We had to step back.
Wow!
Donut cried, hopping up and down.
Would you look at that?
The flames reached the ceiling, and we had to step further out of the room due to the heat. When it finally died out 1 minute and 15 seconds later, all that remained in the room was blackened, crumbly husks of bodies and ash. Well, that's pretty damn cool. We sat down and made 10 more of the devices. After the fire, the room smelled oddly of whiskey and toast. Most of the jugs were already about 3/4 full, which was good. I didn't have to waste any of the moonshine. Out of curiosity, I examined the jugs in my inventory and compared their value to my other explosive devices. The jugs were pretty high on the list, just above the smoke bombs. The full, unaltered jugs of moonshine were more valuable, however. In fact, they were near the top of my list, just above the engineer's table I still had, the only intact table I had left after our construction of the redoubt. These things were much less dangerous, to me at least, than the sticks of goblin dynamite. But they were a little too good. We lost the ability to loot the corpses when they burned away, meaning we lost our ability to get more jugs. We moved toward the staircase. We decided to incinerate every other room, which would keep our jug supply stable. We continued our pattern of Donut raising the dead and me practicing with the slingshot, which slowed our progress but gave us some much-needed training. My slingshot skill remained constant. However, I received a few other skills, including aiming and steady hand. Donut's skill in Second Chance ticked up to level 4. We finally came across a new type of mob just outside of the boss room, which was thankfully separate from the stairwell. This room was big, and like the goblin workshop, filled with dozens of the little assholes. There wasn't any sort of giant machinery, but a tube ran along the ceiling from the far boss chamber to the center of the room, curving down into what looked like a filthy aluminum bathtub. There were piles of the bottles, both empty and full, in the room. The snot-covered level 3s were taking the jugs and tipping them into the tub to fill them up. At the far end of the room was a doorway guarded by a pair of small, floating creatures. These weren't Cluricons, but small, fat fairies who buzzed about with a pair of hummingbird wings. They looked like miniature winged soccer moms. I peered around the corner and examined their properties.
Laminac Rev Up Consultant Elite, Level 6. The second tier of the Rev Up Empire, these Laminac consultants don't need to speak to a manager. They are the managers. They run their business with a brutal efficiency. It is said if one of their underlings falls behind on their sales quotas, they punish them by requiring them to take a sip of their own product. Those that survive are repurposed as workers for the filling room, or worse, as still engineers, working directly under Krakaren herself. These mobs do not have any special abilities other than immunity to most health-seeping attacks. Having survived years drinking their own product, it is said their essence is especially valuable, prized as a shield against disease.
In a dusty corner of the room stood what appeared to be a pair of child-sized stationary bikes, the kind gyms used for their spinning classes. There was some sort of goblin-style pulley system attached to it, but I couldn't tell what was going on from here. A banner hung from the ceiling in the same corner, but it was only attached by one end, and it dangled vertically, forgotten. The banner read, "Rev Up Smoothies. Invigorating." Okay, we need to kill everyone in the room,
but if we want to keep those jugs in that moonshine, we can't blow them up or burn them out. Plus, it sounds like we can get something good from the corpses of the Laminac things.
Goodness me, how can we do that?
We peeked again around the corner, keeping low. Do you think you can jump over there? I asked, pointing at the far wall with the two fairies. Using your spell, I mean.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I nodded. Good. Here's the plan.
Chapter 33. The two biggest problems with Donut's puddle jumper spell was the cooldown and the mana cost. Once cast, she couldn't do it again for 5 hours, which meant, once she was in that room, she couldn't teleport out. Secondly, it cost 20 mana points. She only had 26 mana, and while she had plenty of mana restoration potions, she still had that awful 2-minute cooldown between potions. Her points were restoring themselves more and more quickly, but it was still too slow to count on it for combat. She was going to be woefully underpowered, so if something went wrong, and something always went wrong, the only things she had going for herself was her speed. We decided I would stay behind during this part of the assault. With my extra fairy aggro, we weren't certain what would happen if we both showed ourselves. The plan was simple, but it made me nervous, mostly because I didn't have any control. This was my idea, but the cat was doing all the heavy lifting.
If you get in trouble, I'll toss a smoke bomb. Just jump and run, okay?
Donut nodded. She was putting on a brave face, but I could tell she was also anxious.
Okay, let's do this, she said.
We moved back to the corner, peering around the edge. Donut cast her spell, which had a 10-second countdown. She flashed, her form starting to fade until she disappeared with a loud, wet pop. She reappeared at the far end of the room, right between the two Laminac fairies. She started rapidly speaking with them as all the Cluricons in the room jumped to their feet and turned to attack. The Soccer Mom fairies were winged, therefore Donut had the ability to turn their dots white, removing their hostility. The problem was that only two of them were the airborne-type fairies. The other 40 or so were not. We were hoping Donut could talk to the two fairies, using her charm like she did with the goblins. The fairies would then tell their subordinates not to attack Donut. From my side of the room, I could see that the two fairies had thankfully fallen under Donut's charm. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but like the goblins, they'd been turned right away. One of the fairies yelled at the Cluricons, speaking in Syndicate standard.
Get back to work,
she called.
This is a client, not an enemy.
The dozens of monsters looked at each other and reluctantly returned to their stations. But all of them kept their eyes on Donut, all grumbling and looking uneasy.
Donut. Carl, their dots aren't turning white, only the two fairies.
Carl. Okay, we planned for this. Don't wait. Go for Plan B.
Donut. It is called Plan Pied Piper, not Plan B.
Carl. God damn it, Donut. Just be careful. Despite her charisma being an outstanding 43, we still didn't know how well this whole charm thing worked. It was clear she wasn't some sort of walking mind-control goddess, at least not with monsters that were programmed to dislike her. As with everything else, there was more to it, a hidden balance I couldn't see. It worked great with white dots, but getting the dots white was still a mystery. But that was okay. We'd prepared for this contingency. Instead of talking them into giving us all the moonshine, we had Plan B. Plan Pied Piper. Donut confidently stepped into the room, walking in my direction. She kept a wide distance from the toxic Cluricons, but she headed toward me. The two fairies followed. Sparkles trailed in the air as they bobbed up and down.
It's just horrible,
Donut was saying.
It's like someone came in and slaughtered them all. I, for one, was devastated. At first I thought it was one of those filthy crawlers, but then I saw one of those dogs with the painted faces, the dingoes.
The kobolds,
one of the fairies said, sounding perplexed.
Why would the kobolds attack us? We get along fine with the kobolds.
Come, come see,
Donut said. She looked about the room.
All of you should come.
They need to stay and work,
the fairy said. The pudgy fairy swept her hair out of her eyes. Both of them wore an inverted bob haircut. The one doing the speaking wore what looked like a pantsuit made out of leaves. The other was in a dress made of the same materials. Donut stopped and looked directly at the fairy.
No,
They should come too. All of them.
Everybody come on. We're taking a break,
the fairy said.
What?
One of the Cluricons asked.
Just come. The princess wants to show us something.
I pulled away from the corner and rushed down to the next chamber. In the center were three dead Cluricons. We hadn't firebombed this room, though one of them had been zombified. I moved into the next hall down, just outside of the room. Like with most of these rooms, the entranceway was a small room of its own, like a foyer with a raised, rounded ceiling. A pair of brindle grubs were in the hall further down, inching their way toward the corpses. Jesus, I thought. These things were everywhere. I rushed over and stomped them both down and returned to the foyer. I waited for Donut to Pied Piper the group into the chamber. Carl. Donut, I'm in place. Donut. We are coming!
Look at this. Just look,
Donut was saying a minute later as she strode into the room. She gave the dead monsters a wide berth, walking into the chamber.
Come, everybody gather round. Take a look.
I could hear them crowding into the room as I leaned against the wall, hidden behind the entrance to the next hallway down. I pulled two boom jugs from my inventory and held one in each hand.
This was not a dingo attack,
one of the fairies was saying.
One of them has been hit with the necromancy magic.
No, no, come look at this, Caroline. It's in the hallway over here. Tell your workers to stay here. It'll be good for them to look at what happens to those who don't, work hard or something.
Okay,
the fairy said. She started shouting orders at the crowd of grumbling Cluricons. A moment later, Donut and the two fairies floated into the dark foyer, moving past me. Donut stopped just as the two fairies noticed me standing there.
What's this?
The pantsuit fairy said, floating away with surprise. She was smaller than I realized, no bigger than a crow. The laminac looked just like a miniature 40-something woman. She carried no weapons.
Carl, I'd like you to meet Caroline and Max. It's okay, ladies. Carl needs to show you something.
They were looking down at the pair of jugs in my hands.
Where did you get this?
The other fairy asked.
And what did you do to our product?
I grinned. Let me show you. I mentally clicked activate on both the torches, stepped to the side to the room's entrance, and I tossed both jugs in at the group of 40 monsters stupidly staring back at us. The hands of the pantsuit fairy started glowing red just as Donut leaped into the air and snagged the laminac like she was catching a bird. The cat's crupper jingled and poofed out like a skirt as she fell. Donut clasped the fairy between two claws as she chomped down. She shook her head, breaking the fairy's neck. The second fairy zipped up to the ceiling of the entrance hall, lightning fast, out of reach, screaming as I swiped at her, trying to catch her in the air. Damn it. I wanted to kill them without hurting their fragile little bodies.
Not fair!
The fairy screamed. The air crackled with her passage. She sounded desperate, on the verge of tears.
Not fair! We were going to move down to the third floor!
Her hands also glowed red, and she fired a magic missile right at me. It hit me square in the chest, and I flew backward, slamming onto my back, sliding a few feet into the room with the raging inferno. A note flashed. Warning, damage enhanced. It felt as if I'd been kicked by a damn horse. My vision flashed red, this time a health warning. I felt broken bones in my chest just as the searing heat threatened to catch my hair on fire. I clicked a healing potion as I scrambled to my feet. My chest crackled as it mended itself. I pulled myself back into the hall, out of the raging heat, the breath still knocked out of me. The plan, Plan B at least, had gone off without a hitch until now. The fairy remained up on the ceiling, screaming down at Donut, shooting magic missiles down at the cat, who was doing a much better job at dodging them. After a moment, the fairy seemed to run out of mana. She continued to scream down at us. She was trapped as long as Donut and I each guarded one of the doors to the foyer. You can jump that high, can't you? I muttered.
Probably,
Donut said, out of breath.
Or I can hit her with magic missile. I have a much better aim than she does. I can hit her with a 3 power, and it probably won't hurt her body too much. She's level 6, after all.
Missile her if she runs, I said, pulling the slingshot out of my inventory. It took 10 shots before I hit her. The rock caught her in the wing, and she dropped a few feet before recovering. Her health barely went down. She was a quick little fucker. She kept screaming for someone named Damien to come help. Damien never came.
She's going to regenerate her mana before you get her. Hurry up, or I'm going to do it.
I aimed and fired, trying to anticipate where she was going to be. The rock clipped her in the wing again, and she cried out in pain, dropping again. Donut leaped into the air and caught her before she could recover. They hit the ground with a crunch.
Honestly, Carl,
Donut said, spitting the dead fairy onto the ground next to the other one.
Must I do all the work?
I'm training, I said. I indicated the room behind me, where I'd received experience for killing 40 monsters all at once. Besides, I just hit level 11.
Me too, actually,
Donut said. My slingshot skill remained at 3, but my aiming skill went up to 4. Both of the fairies dropped 25 gold pieces, and each had 5 brochures in their inventory. The description said their essence was valuable, but the only thing that remained was their bodies.
Laminac Rev Up Consultant Elite Corpse. Alchemy material.
Damn it, I said. I'd been hoping they would just drop potions, something to protect us against the taint disease. Donut didn't want the corpses in her inventory, so I took them both. When I pulled them in, their bodies disappeared, but their clothes and wings remained on the ground. I took those, too.
We didn't get a good potion, but that was still pretty awesome,
Donut said, as we headed back toward the filling room.
My first solo mission. I bet I'd be fine crawling this dungeon all by myself.
I nodded. Still, I couldn't help but feel like an asshole. The feeling wasn't as bad as I'd felt after the whole thing with the goblin babies, but there was something inherently distasteful about using Donut's charm ability to kill things. Yes, these were monsters that wouldn't hesitate about killing us. But like with the goblins, once Donut turned them neutral, we saw a part of their personalities one didn't normally see with monsters.
We were going to move down to the 3rd floor!
Jesus. Her voice had been filled with such longing, such despair. I remembered what Mordecai had said, that the mobs in deeper levels weren't going to be as sympathetic. I really hoped so. I needed to remember who the real enemies were. The Syndicate. Borant. The Kuatine. I felt bad about killing monsters who were nothing more than pawns. But the fact was, we needed to get as strong as we could. It was us or them. You're not going to break me, I whispered. It had become a mantra.
What?
Donut asked. Nothing, I said. We walked into the large room. I went to work grabbing all the empty and full jugs I could. I grabbed another 2 tables, including one called an alchemy workstation. By the time we were done, we had 80 empty jugs and another 60 full ones. I decided against filling the empty jugs with the moonshine from the tub. The metal container was bolted to the ground, so I couldn't take the whole thing, and I feared just touching the liquid would have some sort of nasty effect, like blinding me. Or worse. The liquid continued to drip in from the next room over. The door to the boss chamber looked like the entrance to some sort of community center. It had Live, Laugh, Love written on the top of the door in little cut-out wooden letters. Under that was a schedule of events. The next event scheduled was for noon on the day after the collapse. It read, Good news, everyone. Little Brienne Lynn has the chicken pox. Potluck pox party here at noon. No peanuts. Let's get that immunity. I think we should probably just leave this boss alone. There might be more kids in there. And if there's a moonshine still, it'll probably blow up just as easy as that goblin engine. We only have 1 hobgoblin detonator left. And I don't want to waste it if we don't have to. If we just toss dynamite or a boom jar in there, we might not get away in time. I bet the explosion will be big. It's not worth it to just go in there and fight face to face, not when we don't have a real defense against that taint debuff. We don't know how many of those things there will be. I was afraid Donut was going to protest, but she didn't. We moved to the corner of the room. I pulled the Rev Up Smoothies Invigorating banner off the wall. It was made of a cotton-like cloth. I put it in my inventory as I moved to investigate the 2 stationary bicycles. A pulley ran from the tire to a small, flat platform welded onto the front of the bike. A little, black, segmented wheel, no bigger than a half-dollar coin, sat in the middle of the platform. Weird. I noticed a pair of dust-covered wooden boxes tucked away in the corner. I picked one up, and the top slid off, I examined the contents. It was filled with empty, clinking glass containers with screw-on lids. The box held 12 of them. Also shoved into the box was another, similar black lid with little blades on it. I examined the little lid using the tooltips. Oh, I see. It's a blender. A bicycle-powered blender. It looks like it hasn't been used at all. I pulled one of the glass tubes out and unscrewed the cover. I could screw the bladed cover onto the glass and pop the whole thing onto the platform. If I turned the pedals on the small bike, it'd turn the blades, supposedly blending whatever was in the glass. Then I could flip it over, remove the bladed cover, and replace it with the original top, leaving me with a glass bottle of whatever I decided to blend. Like a smoothie. We had something similar, though not bicycle-powered, in our apartment. I peeked in the second box, and this one only held 6 glasses instead of 12. The bladed part of the blender was missing. A sheet of paper sat in the box, and I pulled it free.
Rev Up Immunity Smoothie Recipe.
Holy crap, I said. The recipe only required 2 items. No wonder they discontinued this. Gross.
What? What?
This is all game setup, I said, as I started putting all the items into my inventory. One of the bikes was bolted to the ground, but the second wasn't. I picked it up and pulled it in. You're supposed to find this and make the recipe. If you make the smoothie, you'll have immunity from the taint debuff and something called the vigorous measles. And then you'll have the proper protection to fight the boss. I swallowed. It's really gross, though. I don't want to go in there. I think we should just take these... I never finished the sentence. The door to the bathroom blasted open. A pair of pink tentacles, each at least 15 feet long, reached out, swaying into the room. A terrible ear-splitting screech filled the air, followed by a second screech, then a third, and a fourth. Each octopus-like tentacle was covered with mouths. Dozens of them. Each mouth was wide, big around as a frisbee, but human-shaped with bright, red human lips. There were no eyes or other facial features, just a cacophony of screaming voices, saying nothing. Just screaming. Familiar music started to play, barely discernible under the constant shrieks. At the far end of the chamber where we'd walked in, bars dropped down, locking up the room.
What the hell? I cried, backing against the wall. This isn't a boss chamber!
A new achievement appeared, and it announced itself before I could wave it into the folder.
New achievement! Wait, bosses can leave their rooms? Welcome to the second floor, bitches! Reward? This shit plays great on the recap episode. If you scream loud enough, maybe you'll make the show.
Chapter 34.
Crack Heron Clone. Level 10 Neighborhood Boss. First off, this isn't the Crack Heron. This is a Crack Heron. For every one that is killed, Crack Heron Prime births 2 more. Part of a collective mind intent upon destroying any semblance of scientific progress in the universe, the Crack Heron is the only communal brain entity in the galaxy who actually gets stupider as time moves on. Consisting of multiple shrieking tentacles, members of the Crack Heron Cooperative spend their days birthing their disease-laden minions, creating and selling harmful products, attempting to debate scientific experts, and proselytizing to the weak-minded, all in an attempt to... Well, nobody knows what the hell their end goal is. Even Eris, goddess of chaos, doesn't want anything to do with these crazy assholes.
The moment the description ended, a portion of wall above the door broke open, and a third tentacle burst into the room from the next chamber over, swinging blindly about.
Carl, Carl, what are we going to do?
Donut cried, pushing herself into the corner.
It's huge!
The first 2 tentacles retracted, and a pair of Cluricon consultants came out of the door, looking wildly about.
Shit! Keep them away! I need to make a goddamn smoothie!
What about the tentacles?
Donut cried. I eyed the tentacle sweeping about the ceiling of the room. It kept smashing into the pipe that led to the tub of moonshine.
Don't attack the boss yet. I don't think it can see. Focus on those guys.
I pulled a glass smoothie container into my right hand. I pulled a jug of unaltered moonshine from my inventory into my left.
Donut leaped onto my shoulder and shot a pair of magic missiles, nailing both of the Clericons, who dropped dead at the doorway. A third hesitantly peeked out, looking for us. Donut got him right in the head, and he also collapsed. I pulled the cork with my teeth, and I filled the smoothie container a third of the way with the moonshine. Thankfully, it had a little line on the glass. I didn't know how exact this had to be. Directly above us, the cinder block wall broke apart, showering us with rock. A tentacle burst forth, screaming. It scrabbled, swinging at nothing, swaying just feet over our heads. Above, the mouths dripped with goo. I jumped out of the way as snot splashed near me. Moonshine sloshed out of the glass, and I had to pour a little more in. Jesus fuck. I tossed the jug toward the entrance, and it shattered, splashing moonshine. A moment later, another tentacle once again burst from the doorhole, sending the three dead Clericon flying. I pulled the corpse of the Laminac from my inventory. I held the limp, naked, wingless body in my hand. It was still warm. Her little, dead eyes stared up in her final shock at having been snatched out of the air by Donut. The sensation was odd, like holding an anatomically correct doll of a pudgy, middle-aged woman. I didn't have time to think about it. I shoved her, head first, into the glass container. Her shoulders were a little too wide to fit, so I had to push. The shoulders cracked, and I used my finger to ram her all the way in there, like trying to stuff a Cornish game hen into a thermos. I produced the blender top with the blades, and I had to push hard to get it to screw into place.
Carl, what in God's name are you doing?
It's the recipe,
I cried. I screwed the container onto the blender platform. It attached with a click. I sat atop the much too small bicycle, my knees as high as my chest. I prayed the bike wouldn't break. I prayed my spiked knee pads wouldn't activate, impaling my own chin. I recited the recipe out loud.
You fill a third of the glass container with moonshine, add one corpse of a Laminac fairy, blend until pink, drink warm or chilled. Each smoothie contains 10 doses.
If you think I'm going to drink that...
Across the room, yet another tentacle appeared, this one on the ground. The next tentacle to break through would be right here. I spun my legs. The bike protested at first, but it quickly gained steam, spinning like a regular blender. Within the little glass container, the dead fairy stared back at me, spinning until she was sucked away, the concoction first green.